Thank you, worship team. Great singing. Thank you, church. That was great singing. Only believe. Believe. And you will no longer sit on pews. I love that. Believe. And David Sandine returns home recovering from surgery. Believe, and Olga Scarf is at home recovering. Believe, and I will walk you through times of trouble, times of suffering, and times of turmoil. Believe, God says. Love it. The Sandines wanted me to thank you for your prayers and asking you to continue to pray for them, as Dave is not out of the woods as far as being home, he is, but he definitely still needs your prayer. So we'll pray for them and also for Tyne and the rest of the family. But they thank you and praise God for such a great church that believes. And let's pray. Father God, we do thank you. Lord, we've talked this morning and sung this morning how it's necessary for us to believe. But yet, God, it's easy when we look back and see what you've done. It's hard when we're walking through the times of turmoil and trouble. God, it's hard to believe sometimes. And you know that, you recognize that, and you love us through those times of where we sometimes are shaken in our faith, wondering what's going on, wondering what you're doing. God, we just want to believe. We thank you that David is back at home and Olga as well, and Lord, we thank you for safe arrival of babies into this world. And God, we know that you're a God we can believe in. We do praise you for the pews and what happened there and how it happened, God. We do praise you. And God, but we also recognize that we need to continue to believe. Lord, it's not at the end of where something wonderful happens that we believe. We need to continue to believe. And so we pray, God, that as we even walk through this time, we pray your blessing upon all those who are walking through those times where there's uncertainty or there's turmoil, perplexity. God, we pray for those who are just feeling even ill health right now, just not feeling 100%, maybe even emotionally or spiritually. God, we pray that you would keep them safe. May they know your love through this time. And God, as we come together as your church, we would proclaim that we do believe. And Lord, we know that you're a God who sorts out all those details, even those we forget. And so we cleave to you. God, we cleave to you. Even as we open your word today, speak to our hearts, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Well, today I thought our series, our New Year's series of getting back into the Word of God, the Bible, needs to finish off, needs to kind of complete, it never completes, but our series finish off by looking at God's blessing. Because I'm certain that everyone in this room today has wondered at some point in your life whether God will ever bless me. Now, you may even wonder if the bad will ever end. And you may be at a point sometimes where you wonder, will the good ever begin in my life? That's where we're going to look today. And I'm going to have to click this thing because one thing, we couldn't work the songs out, but they could work out my message, PowerPoint. Aren't you lucky? Because you get to look at cartoons. So here's Blondie, good old Dagwood. His son is laying there. Man, this movie is really bad. Well, then why are you wasting your time watching it? Well, come on, Dad. Sometimes bad means it's really good. Remember? Oh, yeah. Forgot. Whoa, the stew smells really bad. You get it. You know, sometimes when we're going through life, we wonder if ever any good will come of this. You ever said that? Walking through just a bad moment in your life, is anything good ever going to happen? But yet God says that when you suffer, you persevere through it. When you go through times of trial, do so with joy because something wonderful is happening for you. But yet, at the time, we're in that bad zone, and how can we look at it as good? We can when we look back in our life, and we wonder at the time, how are we going to get through this? But we look back. But how come God never blesses me when we're walking through an extremely difficult moment in our life? Have you ever been there? Well, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 26 in your Bibles. We're going to look at this question. Can God bless me? Can God bless me? Matthew chapter 26. I'm going to start at reading at, I will start at verse 45. Well, Jesus is in the garden, and just to set you up a little bit, and he says to his disciples, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." He says, "Stay here and go to sleep." No, he says, "Stay here and keep watch with me. Keep watch with me." He fell on his face and he prayed and he says, "May this cup, Father, if it's possible, be taken from me, not as I will, but as you will." He returned to the disciples, verse 40, and he found them sleeping. He says, "But listen, can you just stay awake?" And then he asked Peter specifically, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit's willing, but the body's weak." And he went away a second time, and he prayed again, "If it's possible, Lord, take this cup from me." He didn't want to go to the cross, but he knew he had to. And when he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were so heavy. Left them again, came back, same thing. And verse 45, we'll pick it up. He returned to the disciples. He said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." You see, God does bless by fulfilling God's wait. Now, God blesses by fulfilling his time of wait. See, if you look at this, This verse, when he came back, found them sleeping, he returned to the disciples, he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting?" I love this. Right before Jesus is about to go through the most horrific, not just troublesome, but horrific part of his life, just when he needed his disciples the most, they sleep. They do not heed his instruction. He asks them, "Wait up. Please. I need you to stay awake with me." And they don't listen. They fall asleep. How many times have we fallen asleep when God says, "Wait"? Spiritually, I've done all I can. God's not coming through. I'm not even going to pray anymore. because I don't know what to pray. I'm not going to read my Bible. God's not coming through for me, so I'm not having anything more to do with him. Because he has not come through. God says, wait. We say, all right, we'll wait for an hour. You come through in that time, and we can find God. How many times have we said, God, I need help here. God, I need this. God, what do I do here? And God says, wait, just hold back until you hear further instruction. Just wait. Don't do anything else. Just wait. And we fall asleep on the job of waiting. We get restless. Like some of you now, you know, you can. And we figure we got to do something about this. And the disciples did. Come on, nudge your spouse. They're almost, you know. One day I was getting ready to do something in ministry, and I was trying to make something happen that I was wanting to happen, that I knew better about. And I knew God wanted me to wait on him. But I wanted it so bad that I could hardly stand it. Have you ever been in that mode where it's just like, oh, I just want this. God's saying, wait, but, you know. And then somebody came along and said, I can help you do that. Oh, this must be God. You know what I'm talking about. But down deep inside, I knew it wasn't, but it's like, that's what we do. Like, somebody comes along, I can help you with that. Oh, this is God then. It must be. Down deep inside, we know. And I felt like I was a little child again. And God was looking down from heaven. He's looking at me. And it felt like he said something like this. You listen to me, young man. You listen to me, young man. What you start yourself, you'll have to finish yourself. Don't think for one minute that you're going to start something when I told you to wait, and I'm going to come and bless it just because you want me to. Do you get it? There's so much confusion in our lives about things that we started that God's not blessing. And we don't understand why God's, well, we start something. Well, I'm gonna embark on this. I'm going to start in this whole financial pyramid scheme. And because somebody came along at the right time and said, you know, this. And so God must be in it. And so I'm starting this whole financial pyramid scheme. And then we wonder why all of a sudden we have no finances. Because we didn't wait for the author and the finisher. You see, what he doesn't author, he has no responsibility to finish. But what he starts, what God starts, he will always finish if we stay with him all the way through it. You see what I'm saying? Are you getting it? I'm sorry, did you people leave, or are you have a little rest? Okay, good. Just checking. Did you know that, I don't know if your Bible says it, but my Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. Anybody ever heard that? Fight the good fight of faith? Ever heard the, yeah, you kind of heard. Do you want me to tell you the greatest fight that you will ever fight? You ready for this? Best battle in your life will be this. The greatest fight you'll ever have is the fight to do nothing about something that you could do something about. But you don't believe God wants you to touch it. I'm going to probably say that about 3 times before this is over. The greatest fight that you'll ever have is the fight to do nothing about something you could do something about, but you know that God has told you, don't touch it. Leave it alone. That's where I'm going to turn this around, Doris. That's where, well, this is really fuzzy. That's where this comes in. God, I'm leaving this with you for 1 hour. And if you don't get it done, God, in 1 hour, then I'm going to have to do what I need to do to get it done for you, God. Hmm? Matthew 26. The disciples are sleeping when the Lord said, wait and stay awake. And you look what happens when they're sleeping. Verse 47, while he was still speaking, while Jesus was speaking, Judas, one of the 12 disciples, the disciples were sleeping. One of the 12 arrived, and with him was a large crowd armed with swords and clubs sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them, "The one I kiss is the man, arrest him." Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. And Jesus replied, "Oh, you sinner." Jesus replied, "You evil betrayer." Jesus replied, "Friend." It's amazing. It's amazing that Jesus could still call him friend. See, that kiss meant Jesus was going to enter the journey of the whipping, the scourging, the trials, the journey to the cross, the nailing to the cross. And yet Jesus says, friend. It's amazing that Jesus could still call him friend. Jesus didn't treat Judas the way Judas treated him. And that's how it is for us disciples. See, when we fall asleep spiritually on the job, when God says, just wait, stay awake, and wait. All right, God, for 1 hour, 10 minutes, I'm sure. We fall asleep, and he still says, friend. Friend. You see, I think we let other people change us. We need to be just what we are. Let them do what they're going to do, but we need to be what we are consistently all the time, just like Jesus. And don't let the devil work through other people to get us to change all the time. Because Jesus was the same all the time. And you know why? Because he believed God all the time. He didn't have to try to take care of himself. He knew that if he waited on God, that God would take care of him. See, God changed me. When we believe God will enter his rest, why, and give us his, we can enter his rest, why are people not happy? Because of all the little works of the flesh that are going on, all the stuff we're trying to make happen that God's not in, trying to change ourselves, trying to change people, trying to get our ministry to go, trying to get more money, trying to get a promotion, try. I tried till I almost died. I finally figured it out. Pray. Just pray. Just believe God and pray. Can I tell you something? Can you hear me? Listen to me. If you really have your trust in God, God is a God of justice, and there is no person on earth and no devil in hell that can keep you from having what God has ordained for your life if you keep your hands off of it and keep your eyes on God. That's a guarantee. But that only comes by waiting. God says, wait. We wait. Well, God does bless when we wait, but God does bless when we follow his way. Now, remember, disciples sleeping, wouldn't wait, so Judas does what he does. But he's not the only one here, okay? Let's jump bottom of verse 50. Then the men stepped forward, seized Jesus, arrested him. With that, one of Jesus' companions reached for his sword, drew it out, struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Put your sword back in its place, Jesus said to him. For all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen in this way? Now, I guess you have to imagine this whole scene. Jesus, Almighty God himself, the Son of God, the Most High, betrayed by Judas, pretended to be his friend, had preached to these disciples about trusting God, putting faith in God, believing God. And as soon as the heat was on, they put matters in their own hands. And right away, attack! See, our flesh is always, bless God, you're not going to treat me like that. You're not going to get away with this. I can't wait. Oh, you know, God's going to use me to vindicate you. I'm going to get you back myself. You didn't treat me right, and I'm not treating you right just because it's just not fair. I'm not treating you right. If you think I'm talking to you, you got another thing coming. You watch. You'll be walking down the sidewalk, and I'll go the other side. You just watch that. Peter tried to fix the problem. And he made it worse. You know, so often we take things into our own hands that God is trying to do, and we make it worse. Ever been there? Look at this. What's wrong with the door, Earl?
Well, it's hard to open. I thought I'd see if I could adjust it.
Any success?
Oh, some. I wasn't able to fix it, but I was able to make it worse. Yeah.
You've been there. You ever try to get involved in somebody's life, in their situation, and you say, well, hey, I'll come alongside, I'll help you out, and you give some advice, 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 and their life is miserable, and you keep giving advice, and they keep coming to you for advice, and, you know, have you ever done this? You know? Or somebody keeps telling you, you prayed to God, but then you got somebody coming along who says, hey, I got this for you, here you go, and you start doing it, and all of a sudden it's worse than you started. And ever been there? Why do we always think that we can fix things better than God can? Go to God. Talk to him. Walk in his will. Dig in his word. Trust. Believe. Peter chose his own deal. Get this. Peter. We're not putting up with this. Jesus said, Peter, it's not the way we're going to do this. It's not the way. Listen to this. Here's the thing. He said, don't you know I could put a stop to all this, Peter? Don't you think that I could take care of the... Don't you know that I could take one tiny little bit of action and not have to go through this, Peter? Because it was Peter who drew the sword, just so you get the picture. I like the way the Amplified puts this. Jesus said to him, put your sword back into its place. For all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you suppose that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will immediately provide me with more than 12 legions, more than 80,000 of angels? Don't you know, Pete, that if I wanted to, I could call thousands of angels. But if I do that, I will not be doing God's will. So I'm going to do it the hard way. I'm going to wait on God, and even though I could do it, I'm not going to move in the flesh. I'm going to wait on God because that is the only way that this can be fulfilled. Fight the good fight of faith. The greatest fight you'll ever fight in your life is the fight to not do something about something that you could do something about because you know You know, down deep inside, God is saying, leave it alone and let me do it. May take longer than you like. May take a journey that is longer than you'd like to go in a way that is harder for you to travel than you thought that you could ever stand. But you will end up with God's will if you keep your eyes on God and keep your hands off of it. And suddenly you know the blessing. Suddenly you know the blessing. And you know what you will say then? You'll say, it's God. Because you haven't done anything. I think I may, I've told some of you back way back in 87, I was in a car accident and hurt my back. And I had people, I mean, I was flat on my back and trying best to walk and all that kind of stuff. And I had people come over and pray and yell and scream at me. And they would. It's literally scream. My back is so hard. Come on out back. You know. Really, and they put hands, I mean, everything, it was great. They, you know, they put their hands on my back and scream. I'd be trying to, you know. And then they come along, and Job's friends are really good. I mean, they really care, but they come along and say, what sin do you have in your life that's causing this really bad back for you? You know, and I got to pray about this, I got to figure it out. And it really did a cleansing, spiritual cleansing. It did all that stuff. Nothing happened. Nothing. Flat on my back, trying to walk, couldn't get anywhere. It was horrible. Watched a lot of TV. You know, you kind of go, have you ever done that? Sorry, I shouldn't do that because all the television companies will email me. But, you know, but when no one was around, nobody was there. My family was swimming in a pool. I didn't even want to be there. They got me into this hot tub, my friends, and sitting there. I tried everything, every kind of therapy, you name it, everything. And I walked out of that hot tub without walking upstairs very well before. And I walked out, and I went, look at this. Look, are you guys seeing this? So for somebody who had a prognosis of not being able to walk again, to somebody who stands before you, no one can take the credit except God. No one. And that's when you say, ah, it's God. Not one person did this. God did it. And that's what he wants. That is what he wants. He wants to get all the glory. He wants to get all the praise. He does not want you to think, I did this. But rather, God did it. I've got a new idea, friends. I've got a new idea. Let's all serve God. It's a new idea. But it's the only way. I want you to turn to the person next to you and say, I've got a new idea. And I want you to turn back to them and say, let's do it God's way. And with that, let's pray. Father God, we sit here today and we have sung to you. We have praised you. And Lord, we definitely can say we believe you. And yet when it's really hard, when the time is pressing on us and when situations are pressing in on us and it seems like many days are just attacking us at one time. It's so hard. It's so hard not to take it into our own hands and try and fix it. Or try to do it or try to accomplish it. But God, you've told us, you've said that you will walk us through the time of war, through the battle, the spiritual battle that we're in. You said you will do this. You've also called us to glorify you. And God, may we do that. You know, God, we know there's balance here. I mean, we know, God, that there are some things we need to do. I mean, there, in order to keep things moving along. And God, we know we don't need to have a prayer meeting about every purchase we make or every $10 we give away. But we need to pay attention, God. We need to pay attention inside. And would you help us to do that? To just pay attention in our spirit to whether or not we have your approval on things. God, give us the ability that when you don't approve, that we're able to just drop it. God, that's believing you. Not just believing in you, but believing you. We just want nothing more than for you to have the glory. To have the glory today, God. Thank you for helping us keep you first in all of our decisions. May we be people who are of the Word and who pray to you and have a relationship with you. May we continue to put you first in our life throughout this year. We pray in the powerful name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.